So my name is Alex Stainbrick. I'm an architect in Microsoft Technology Center in New York. If you're not familiar with MTCs, you can go there, aka.ms/aboutmtc. We work with customers pretty much every day and have a lot of practical experiences on this. So a lot of these sessions are pretty practical.
And hi, I'm David Crawford. I'm a solution architect in our modern apps domain. And I work directly with customers, helping them form their solutions and then take them all the way out through to delivery.
So we were asked to present this topic in 20 minutes or less, which is completely impossible. So we're going to spend another 2 hours talking about it. No, I'm just kidding. We are going to have two other sessions which are a little bit more in-depth in the expo hall, just to be clear where it is. In the expo hall, there is an MTC section and a Theater 4 Microsoft environment where this session is going to be repeat. But the sessions in MTC is very similar topic, except 60 minutes instead of 20, so we can be a little bit more informative about this rather than talking about 20 minutes. But you can download this deck, by the way. It's available on the Ignite download site. From the identity as a service perspective, which Azure Active Directory is part of, it's actually a very, very large ecosystem that we have today, and it's evolving every day. And it feels like almost every day there's something new coming out in the platform. The platform is designed to work together, different components working together, but at the same time you can choose the components that you want to create an architecture and goal that you want. This is just a quick snapshot of this. There's actually a link to AAD, so aka.ms/AAD papers is where you can get a lot of these types of higher level informational slides. Again, in a larger, longer session, we'll go through a little bit more about the value of each component and how we see customers using each component. But just keep in mind, in a traditional contemporary world, we have decoupled services that work together. Decoupling means also that you can create an architecture that is specifically architected for your particular problem. So it's a very different approach than monolithic approach that we had before with Active Directory on-premise. Azure Active Directory, as a marketing term, is a big umbrella of many, many different services put together. So in the 20 minutes, what we thought of that might be helpful is we were debating between ourselves, what is the most common architecture or most common ask that people, that customers have when they come into the MTCs or to MCS or services? And then what are the components we typically see in those architectures? So that's what we have time for in 20 minutes to do. And we've asked a number of people across Microsoft that work directly with customers. And the most common scenarios, I'm trying to work with other people. I'm trying to work with people inside the corporation. I'm trying to work with people outside of corporation. And I need to be able to share information with them. Now, this doesn't seem like an identity problem, but obviously identity is the key to that, to enable that kind of scenario. And a lot of the discussions start with how do you implement the identity correctly, and what are the pieces of the identity infrastructure that make sense, which is not just the directory itself, maybe, but maybe other components, as you'll see with some of the common proposals that we have with customers working on this. So really, that's the most common question that we got from kind of business people. And of course, if you look at the kind of technical requirements on the level down, you do need to protect the environment. Everybody is under a lot of threats these days. It's becoming quite a scary world. Everybody read the article about Yahoo leak, right? That's kind of really, really interesting challenge today. That we have where credentials get leaked from somebody else, and because people reuse their username and password everywhere else, you can just buy a database and start trying to access the information. So there are components in the identity stack that help you prevent those types of things, which are not necessarily the directory itself, which is the first place that people think about when we talk about Azure Active Directory. But basically, you know, how do we prevent against modern threats? How do we require stronger and stronger authentication? A lot of people are moving towards multi-factor authentication, But what if I have an application that does not support multi-factor authentication? Can I leverage the identity platform to then implement multi-factor authentication without changing my application? And that is a very, very common ask from a lot of people as well. And then, of course, single sign-on, again, across lots of cloud services, across on-premise applications, all of these are very, very common technical requirements that we get from people. So this is, from the business perspective, very simple, share information. From a technical perspective, there's a lot more depth to this. Usually, when we talk to customers, we like to ask a lot of questions. Now, in 20 minutes, we don't have time to ask lots of questions, so I'll ask one question of the audience, and then we'll tell you the architect based on the question that you guys, that most of you vote for. Where do we want to keep the data? Do we want to keep the data on-premise, or do we want to move it to a cloud service? Cloud service?
Show of hands. Cloud service?
Okay. What about keep on-prem?
On-prem.
I think cloud service kind of wins. Wow, this is a really, really Microsoft-friendly audience. I work with a lot of banks and everything, and they're like, no, no, absolutely not. Maybe in 10 years. All right, so let's walk through. Actually, there's kind of a mixed bag. It's sort of like 40-60, I think. So do you want to go through both or one?
Yeah, let's cruise through both, and we'll emphasize the cloud side, just like we had the breakout of the audience.
All right. So if your data is on-premise, you see here, you're going to be protecting your servers.
You're going to want to increase the security around your identity. And you probably have something that you want to maintain that same type of protocol or identity within your organization. We have a mechanism that helps support that. But when you're going to the cloud, the other thing is that you may want to raise the level of assurance for what identities are accessing something like your SharePoint farm or your internal applications. So that's where something like Azure Active Directory proxy comes into play. So we're just going to go over briefly this, because you can hold your information in the cloud, and you'll see that soon. But when we're talking about cloud, we'll also have to talk about whether we're doing a IaaS implementation or O365. For our Azure application proxy here, what we'll end up doing is we'll end up protecting your servers by producing an endpoint on a network. So we actually generate the URL for you, or you can create one with your own certificate that gives you access to your SharePoint site. And through this implementation, these connectors, a couple servers that reside in your environment, pull that information from a configuration in the cloud in order to give it the information that it requires in order to access that local system on-premise. So it's not limited to just SharePoint. There could be other applications that you have configured within that as well.
The neat thing about this, we handle all the network traffic endpoint. We do all the denial of service inspection or prevention. We all do all the bad packet inspection. We do all the IP injection inspection. So all the security services that we provide for Azure, Office 365, can apply to your on-premise application without ever touching the application itself.
Yeah, your application isn't even sitting on that network out there, which is another thing that, you know, typically there might be a firewall sitting right in front of your application behind. We're actually generating an endpoint for you.
And then from the gateway, it's an outgoing IPsec connection to the service, which means you can even prevent, you can allow access from the internet to the application, but prevent any kind of firewall openings to the environment. So it's securing the environment as well as securing all the network injections that people might deal with. I've actually had one government customer, which I was a little taken aback, and they said, well, so we don't have to patch our servers anymore against like HTTPS attacks and things like that. I'm like, ooh, no, not really. But yeah, we kind of prevent you all the contemporary attacks against the HTTPS stack, because we handle it, we stop the traffic, and we initiate clear traffic back to the application. But it's still patch servers, okay?
And in a recent major government implementation that we did, they had a consumer-facing website, and we were pretty much convinced that the platform that they were running in was insecurable. So what we did is we created a fortress around that application itself because they still needed to access it remotely. And how we did that is we locked it down to sitting behind Azure Active Directory's or AAD's proxy. And by doing so, this application that had poor security, we raised the level up because no one could reach it from the network until they went through multi-factor authentication in Azure Active Directory. And you didn't have to change any code on that application in order to reach it. So the MFA was introduced as part of increasing that security.
Yeah, and if you do authentication at the Azure application proxy level, plus you do multi-factor authentication, then only authorized users can access the application. So any unauthorized connection will be prevented by default. So you reduce the network traffic, you reduce the DOS threats, you reduce the unauthorized users trying to access it, and then only clean sort of traffic and known users can then connect. So it's a really neat, a lot of people don't think about it as part of identity ecosystem, but it is part of that ecosystem if you want to not change anything on premise.
And so?
Is that a feature of our tenant?
This is a feature of Azure Active Directory. I'm not a licensing person, so I don't know exactly what level it's in, but the Azure Active Directory proxy is part of Azure Active Directory.
Yep, it's part of it.
And multi-factor authentication is part of Azure Security Services also, mm-hmm. which you can add.
Yep. All right. So the other thing that everybody wanted to focus on was getting my data in the cloud. And you may or may not be on your journey already towards making that happen. There are a couple of decisions to make. One of them is what topology you're going to choose to authenticate your users with. So our choices for that topology, and I'm sure you can all read that, right? Good. Just checking. We have a password synchronization capability where you take your on-premise Active Directory and you sync to the cloud.
And just to be clear, it's a hash of the password, not the password
hash
itself.
Hash of a password. Your clear text password is not sitting out there. And the other mechanism is a federation. So you might have something like ADFS, Active Directory Federation Services, which is providing the authentication directly against your on-prem Active Directory instance. So you would still use AD Connect in order to sync the usernames, the profile of those users, but the authentication will actually go back to your ADFS server. And that's what that topology looks like there.
And for a lot of customers, this is the first decision point that you have to make. Do you do federation or do you do hash of the password sync? Because there's some advantages in federation, like you control you control some of the login behavior, but there's also disadvantages because then it's a tier one application that you have to manage as opposed to completely platform as a service authentication system. So it's a cost risk versus comfort level. And there's no right or wrong decision. It's just a one or the other.
Yeah, we've seen people try to start maintaining everything with ADFS and find that they no longer want to put the effort into maintaining that tier one app. So then they'll pivot and change to sync fully in the cloud. If you have some sort of regulatory reason or otherwise, and you know, you would know what they are, then that may choose you to bring the other direction. That doesn't mean that you can't leverage an ADFS server and Azure AD, whether you do the sync or the federation, you can do either one for O365, but you could also use ADFS to, say, federate with other partners. So it's not exclusive like once you use one of these. It probably is preferable for you to pick Azure Active Directory because you get a lot more sleep that way. So that would be my opinion. Now, the other thing is, where do you put these servers? A lot of data centers I find when I'm out there are at capacity. So it's one of the beauties of the cloud is the capacity available. And so people will choose to move that workload, such as the AAD Connect, to that point. and do your syncing directly from the cloud. So you might move some of your domain controllers to an IaaS instance. You might sync from that location rather than directly on-prem. You can do it either way. You could sync from on-prem, or you could sync from the extension of your network in the cloud.
There is a service, an additional service, and we're not going to cover every identity service in 20 minutes, but there is an additional service called Azure Active Directory Domain Services, which presents Azure Active Directory, which is a modern protocol. Like LDAP is not supported in Azure Active Directory. It's supporting OAuth, OpenID Connect, those modern protocols, the REST endpoints. There is a service that's in preview today called Azure Active Directory Domain Services, which makes Azure Active Directory looks like a traditional Active Directory. So it supports LDAP, it supports LDAP-S, it supports Kerberos, it supports all the, shall I call it, legacy protocols?
Sure.
I'm not sure that's a marketing approved term, but given the new platform is kind of modern protocols. So, but it is not today for every single workload. So for example, SharePoint as a member of Azure Active Directory Domain Service is not supported today. So it's for, a lot of people use it in my experience for things like, I have a Java application that is using an LDAP interface and I need to maintain that, but I want to move it to a cloud-based service. So I'm going to expose Azure Active Directory as a domain controller. It's PaaS, you don't have to do anything, you don't have to patch it, you don't have to do anything with it. It's just enabling you to communicate to it using the older protocols.
Yeah, so I mean, where you see that workload adjusted, some people start off with, hey, I want to collaborate, I want to get going. And a lot of people hear collaboration is their primary concern. And so in that case, you know, you solve the topologies, roll up, get fired up with O365, and get going. Some people bring it from, I have an application workload that I need to bring on board, and this is one of those facilitators for that.
Now, David, what about external identities?
Ah, so O365 has a capability which we basically call B2E, or business to employee. So Azure Active Directory is the heart blood, the lifeblood of the identity to reach O365. Now, Active Directory B2C, Azure Active Directory B2C, allows you to extend that out to your consumers. Now,
Matt, just to be clear, B2C is for custom applications today. It is not used with Office 365. So there's no connection between business to consumer directory and Office 365 today. It's for custom apps.
Yeah, so when we were talking about a lot of these composable pieces and features, that's yet another feature, another composable piece that fits in the whole ecosystem. And this also allows you to connect to social identities such as LinkedIn or Amazon, MSAs, Google, so forth.
Facebook.
You can also use custom identities. So if you have a user ID and password or an email address and password, and there's a capability for that. Now on the other side, if you wanted to bring your partners into this, like say Trey Research wants to be part of, or Contoso wants Trey Research to be part of a collaboration effort, we have a new business-to-business capability where we send out an invite to that party. That invite then gets loaded into your Azure Active Directory, and you can then grant it access to resources, say like your collaborative workloads.
So today, business-to-business invitation, meaning invitation of a person from another Azure Active Directory tenant, is supported with SharePoint Online, but not with Exchange Online. Exchange Online is still working on that. And obviously, it is supported with any kind of custom applications that you build as part of Azure Active Directory. But SharePoint today supports this, Exchange coming.
And so how that works is that you get an email, the partner gets an email, they click on the link, and they actually authenticate against their own directory. And then once they've authenticated against their own directory, they become a guest user in the hosting directory. From that point on, they look like another user that you know, you would grant access to a particular area. And if you're a smaller, you might not have Azure Active Directory yet. You might have small partners, might be a small organization that you're working with. So what we have is a viral tenant creation capability. So when you get that email and you're a smaller partner and you didn't have something like O365 set up already, what we do is we generate this tenant in the background. You don't get to edit it, you don't get to manage the users or anything like that, but it maintains your security in the same way through that, say, that company name. So now this smaller group, they don't take on that burden of administering an Active Directory. However, sometime in the future, that little company may get bigger. And when they get bigger, they can claim that name for their company and then start managing it like any other tenant. So
and this is great because it allows you to completely not manage the I forgot my password issue, or I changed my name, or I quit the company and I'm no longer part of that company. All of those processes that used to exist with I'm going to manage identity for my partner are automatically sort of disappear from your plate.
So yeah, you may have remembered us talking a long time ago about federation, where we do business at a business level. Well, that was great, because now at the federation of partners, these two have a trust relationship with identity, but it was also difficult to set up. You know, it took technical resources to work out the details and work through the claims and everything else. Well, this is a friction-free mechanism where basically you have the end user click on a link, authenticate to their stuff, and you're in. So, great advancement. We can do that only because of our scale and how we work across so many organizations.
So those are the two most common questions that we ask. Azure Active Directory Proxy is a great solution for on-premise type applications, and Azure Active Directory plus business-to-business plus business-to-consumer is a great scenario if people want to extend the collaboration beyond the organizational boundaries. There's a whole bunch of identity sessions that go into each of the features. I don't know, David, about you. I'm going to be at the reception today if you want to ask questions specifically about your particular problem. Mm-hmm. And as I said, we're going to have more detailed, similar business scenario, a little bit more worked out with a little bit more details on Tuesday and Thursday in the expo hall. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for coming.